4:45 a.m. Central African Time. It's a beautiful Thursday morning on our program, As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. Well, it's the second of Rabi'ul Awal 1444. Let's welcome the listeners of Radio Al Ansar International. Let's welcome the listeners of Malak Al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And of course, let's welcome our beloved, respected senior fadilatul ustad, Hazrat Marana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhullah. Ustad, welcome to the Q&A early this Thursday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fikum Mauna Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussein. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the second of Rabi'ul Awwal 1444. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, today we focus on chapter 23, Surah Mu'minun, verse number 8. When you study the modern world today, you will find that 80-90% of the countries, Muslim, non-Muslim, Arab countries, 90-80% of them suffer from these 2-3 problems. Number one, secularism, and that is to advocate and to promote a godless society. Or you will find that they promote capitalism, where there is supply and demand, and then you have monopolies, oligarchies, and they hold the entire nation to ransom. Or you will find the satanic system of democracy. And you know democracy, you must just add the N there. So it is democracy and hypocrisy, because the masses are S's, and that's how they fear, that's how they fool and beguile and deceive them. So why am I mentioning this? Go now to chapter 23 and verse number 8. So what does Islam say? Islam says, if you want to be a true Muslim, if you want to be a true human being, then you need to fulfill divine rights, and simultaneously you need to fulfill the rights of creation and human being. So when you study modern day constitutions, the emphasis is on human rights, and they will tell you religion is a private matter, private issue, and they divorce and detach themselves from all divine rights basically. So that is why you see today the world, everywhere they're suffering. Although they will try and paint the picture that they belong to the first world and developed world. So Almighty Allah teaches us the true qualities of the dedicated, devoted believers and Muslims. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ There are those people who fulfill their trust. Their trust where? With human beings. That whether it is husband-wife relationship, whether it is parents and children, whether it's siblings, whether it's employer-employee, so whether it's neighbors, Muslim, non-Muslim, so you fulfill the trust which you are entrusted with. Therefore, Islam says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ Woe and destruction to those who are the fraudsters. So therefore, such people is not confined to business only. التَّدْفِيفِ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to say, committing fraud is across the board and the spectrum. Chapter 83, verses 1, 2, 3. So all this are Islamic teachings. How we must learn to fulfill our trust with people. If they are corrupt, it doesn't mean we must become corrupt. And then وَأَهْدِهِمْ, fulfill the rights and obligations and the covenants of Almighty Allah. So this is where the modern human being fails completely, because secularism, capitalism, you must just have money, you must have power, and you can steal, you can commit fraud, all that, and then you are considered as an astute politician and Ra'un. So you have to fulfill it, you have to fulfill all this. So Islam teaches us to pray, P-R-A-Y, to Almighty Allah, and not to pray, P-R-E-Y, on the creation of Almighty Allah. Obviously, that if there are wars and all these type of things, as I'll explain now, that will be the exception to the rule. But in a utopian and proper Islamic system, remember, this is what will happen. But we don't have any Islamic country today. We have Muslim countries where there are majority Muslims, but not a single country can we say this is an Islamic country and this is a role model for humanity and posterity. Let us take you around the globe. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We're very happy about that. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is punishing America. America always says, we are the superpower and we are first world and so forth. Allah Jalla Wala is sending such a hurricane Ian to them that all their forces, all their nuclear, all their army, all at a standstill. None of them can prevent it, and the hurricane is lashing them, and 250 kilometers per hour, 230 kilometers per hour. The rain is coming, the floods are coming in Florida. We say Alhamdulillah, Allahumma ahlikhum, Allahumma aghriqhum. Ya Allah, you decimate them, destroy them for the zulm and the oppression they have done to Muslims and the Palestinians and to Iraqis and to Afghanis and to so many other people, Muslim and non-Muslim, in Vietnam and other countries. So therefore, we have no sympathy, no empathy for this. I pray, I'm being honest with you. I prayed yesterday and this morning also. Ya Allah, you decimate them and destroy them. Ameen. These zalims and oppressors. What then, what crimes they committed in Muslim countries and Arab countries. So that is number one. Then number two, we take you to Saudi Arabia. Another puppet regime of the Americans. Remember that they worship the Americans more than they worship Almighty Allah. I give you two items. You can go and Google it and see. Go read the Arab news yesterday's and see. They got a big article there. Yusuf Qardawi is dead. We say Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi, rahimahullah. Allah Jalla Wala grant him Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. So they write there in the Arab news, Yusuf Qardawi is dead and his poison lives on. So what they mean is poison lives on. You must remember he was one of the leaders and in the forefront of the Ikhwan, the Muslim Brotherhood. So what is wrong with that? We are Muslims. We want to implement Islam. So what you want to poke your nose in our business? And he was speaking 100% in favor of the Palestinians. When you haramis, when you terrorists, when you occupiers, when you squatters come and steal our land and occupy our land. So what must we do? Must we be silent? Obviously, we have to name you and shame you. So go read that, because they hate the Ikhwan and they hate Yusuf Qardawi. So you must remember this. Therefore, our fatwa verdict is this MBS and MBZ and CC and all. They got nothing to do with Islam. They are all there as puppets of America and Israel. And the same goes, you must remember, for the King of Bahrain and King of Morocco and so forth. Speaking of normalizing ties, show me Since you, so-called Arab states, normalized ties with Israel, what did it have the Palestinians? Come, I show you, esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International and of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what these haramis, if you don't know what the meaning of haramis, it means a B, an illegitimate child with a capital B. These haramis, these squatters, these terrorists, I've been to Palestine, occupied Palestine 5 times, and every time I made sure I go to Masjid al-Aqsa to perform my salat, all my salat in prayer, and I must go to Hebron Khalilur Rahman, where Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is buried, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam, so Abraham peace be upon him is buried, Nabi Ishaq, Isaac peace be upon him is buried, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam is buried. I told you yesterday what these haramis did. In 1994, they murdered our people in the mosque, they stole our masjid. Now, where the taftish is, where the checkpoint in, they put a gun there. So remember that, so it will terrorize the Muslims and the Palestinians, the children and everybody. Just for a moment, all you Jutlas and Jutlis, all you Zionists and apartheid and whoever, all you Americans and all you who hate Islam and Muslims, I ask you 2 questions. If Russia had to put a gun like that, where the checkpoint is, remember, against the Ukrainians, what you would say? You would say Russia are war criminals and so forth. So why doesn't the media speak about this? It's all on the margin only. And if Iran had to do this, so it should be Iran a terrorist. I got nothing to do with Iran. Iran for me and Israel for me are the same. Remember, they're both non-Muslims. So I'm speaking of the Shias there. They're non-Muslims as far as we're concerned. But I'm just drawing that analogy and parallel. So you are the haramis. You are the biggest terrorist, super terrorist, Israel. The rogue, the apartheid regime, squatters, occupiers. And remember, daily I make dua. And the true Muslim makes dua. Allahumma ahlikum kama ahlakta adaw wa samud. Allah, you dismantle them and punish them. So this idiot who wrote the article in that Arab news of Yusuf Qardawi, he says that one day Qardawi made the dua against Israel. So your idiot, the dua is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif and is made by the greatest Sahaba of their time, the students. Allahumma ahsihim adada waqtulhum badada wa la tubqi minhum ahada. So we make that dua every day also against the enemies of Islam, whether it be in India, apartheid Israel. Then in the Saudi Gazette, they got an article there, 51 names you're not allowed to keep in Saudi Arabia. So one name they got there is Bin Yamin. Can you believe Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam's brother, who was his full brother and who was 100% Muslim, so Bin Yamin, they say you can't keep that name. These are the Saudis, you must remember that. Total sellout, a disaster for the Muslims. So then we take you to Britain, the great British Empire in doldrums. So you must remember, trust, what happened to you? They say trust is hiding their prime minister. She don't want to come out. Because the pound is sliding. See, I got a message for you, you Britain, right? You know South Africa is a wonderful country, banana country, and a failed state, right? So we have wonderful anecdotes here for you. So we had one minister of finance. His name was Van Rooyen, if I'm correct. He lasted 3 days or 4 days, and then they fired him. So in matter of 1 week, we had 3 ministers of finance. So now you must think, trust. First, there was an Indian minister of finance. Now, they got an African minister of finance. You think it's going to work? Your British and your people, they don't want all this. So they make the markets crash. You must remember this. Britain, big trouble. And America, big trouble. And Ukraine, big trouble. Putin, you carry on. You see, Putin, I give you one lesson. You don't need my lesson. But we will tell them so the Jutlas can hear. So Putin, you had your referendum. All of them became part of Russia in the four regions. Very good. It's your country. History also tells us it's part of Russia, right? Mm-hmm. So Israel is not recognizing that. You see, Israel is not recognizing. So Putin, you and your Syrian Bashar Assad, another Fakka Kufar, remember that out of the fold. So when these chaps here, Israeli thugs and terrorists attack you, so you must be helping the Muslims and them. And you have to take Israel also on. Come, I tell you one nice story about Israel and the Jutlas. Just Google it or go to Haaretz, you will find the story there. So remember Israel and Mexico. So they in one village there, one place there, they got a tribe of these Jews. Mm. They call them the Jews, the Taliban Jews, the Jewish Taliban. Uh-huh. So why? Now see, listen properly. From 3 years old, they put the daughters in parda. 3 years old, they put them in parda and thus and all. You see? So when they go on to extreme, they will go to extreme that side. And when they go on extreme the other side, then they will murder the children, prophets and messengers. So that is the Jutla. It's not a chosen nation. It's a cursed nation forever till the day of Qiyamah and all this enshrined in the noble Quran. We pray for peace, but no peace when there's no justice. Therefore we say loudly, boldly, clearly that India, our enemy, me Hindutva, we don't want. Remember that. If they are terrorists, they are apartheid, India of Modi. Second one, America and Europe, NATO, all this year. They're not for us Muslims. And remember, Putin also is not our real friend, but we use his name, you must remember, because he stands up against them. He's biding his time. Let winter come, and then we see what will happen, to the euro, what will happen to all these places. Allah, Jalla wa Ala, guide everyone to the truth.
Ameen.
But if there's no guidance, Allah, Jalla wa Ala, decimate the true terrorists of
Ameen.
The world.
Ameen, ameen, thumma ameen. I see Hafiz Yaqub Ustad, he says that Adhan is being called everywhere throughout the world 5 times a day. Why would certain areas want to stop this 1400 years old tradition, Ustad? Hafiz up.
Hafizab is, I think you're missing the miswak. You got the wrong end of the stick and miswak. It's very few countries in the world that will ban the adhan. That they want to ban, you must, that we start giving it on the loudspeaker and on all this, you know. So sometimes our people see, leave everybody else. I tell you about where I am, in Indonesia, right? So yeah, next to Johannesburg and so forth. So what happens, Ramadan time especially, there are 50 mosques here, 50 masajid. So the muazzins, all of them, or majority of them, they put it on, remember, maximum decibels. You understood? Now, is that right, I'm asking you? I'm a Muslim, I'm a born Muslim, we dare to give our life for Islam. But if we behave like this, and then a non-Muslim complains, is the non-Muslim complaint justified or not? So we also must love and let love. We got freedom of religion, we got all that, but don't go overboard also, that you have to put it right to the maximum and so forth. So therefore, we must give adhan. We can give adhan and should give adhan in the mic, but everything improper. Not we go and abuse what the facilities we have. So we also should be thinking properly, my brother. Anyway, wait for the decision, inshallah, from the appeal court in Bloemfontein. Ameen. Inshallah, Allah Jalla wala make it come in our favor.
Ameen, thumma ameen. My question is, Ustaz, that most of the Hindus in India say that their religion is peace, love and tolerance. The question is, who are they fooling, Ustad?
Yes, 100% we say. I say 3 things you must remember, that Hindu religion is for peace. There's no doubt about that as far as their true teachings go. We say you can stay on your religion. Whatever religion you want is your choice. but is hijacked by the Hindutva, is hijacked by the BJP, is hijacked by RSS, and their ideology is Hindu nationalism, that Muslims, Christians, all that are treated as second, third, fourth class, and especially Muslims. But they forget that the Muslims' contribution for Indians, India's independence from the British, Muslims ruled there 700 years, Modi and his thugs, they want to obliterate and remove all that from India. So that is our big problem with them. You take Christianity. So the true Christianity was that they should be following Islam. But then Saul came. Saul was a Jutla. You must get the Jutla somewhere in the mix. So Saul saw a dream and then he became Paul. So then Paul, so what they're practicing now is not Christianity. It's the Pauline theory. He cooked up the Christmas day. He cooked up, you must remember, Trinity. He cooked up for them so many things. So therefore, if you ask them, where is it written in the Bible that 25th of December is Christmas Day and all that? Then you go, you must remember to Judaism. So Judaism, peaceful religion originally, but the Zionists came, the political movement, and hijacked everything. So therefore, when you speak to the original rabbis and see, they are dead against apartheid Israel and the terrorist Israel. So we need to go to the history and then see how they were hijacked. Now they want to hijack Islam and say that Islam stands for terrorism when they themselves are the biggest terrorists.
So Ustad, can a portion of my will be written out for a non-Muslim orphanage, Ustad?
Yes, you must remember that in Islam, when a Muslim person passes away, so while she is living, so male, female, you write down, number one, upon death, burial, funeral expenses. Number two, all the debts and the accounts of the deceased must be paid. And it must be paid, you must remember, immediately. Not after 40 days and 100 days. Whether it's personal debt, debts or corporate debts or business debts and so forth. So all that must be expedited and paid to the creditors. Number three is called wasiya, to bequeath. In Islam, you can bequeath, you must remember, for Muslim and non-Muslim. So as long as it's not for a haram cause. For example, people now want to go and bequeath to Israel, or you want to bequeath to a church or synagogue or temple or a casino. So obviously that is null and void. But if it is something good, you must remember an orphanage, but nothing to do with Christianity or Judaism or so forth, so then it will be valid. Your neighbor is a non-Muslim and you want to bequeath for him or her for that matter, and its maximum amount is 1/3 of the net estate, so it's permissible. And the fourth one is the shares of the heirs.
I've got Brother Bread. He says, good morning AK, the Quran rendition I heard on Merkaz is so soothing. Not being a Muslim really took me home from work in total peace. I was listening from about 1:30 this morning on my phone. I could listen to it all day. Tops, sir. Bread, Ustad.
Wonderful, my brother Bread. Breadly, bread, whatever. So we want to give you some spiritual bread, my brother Bread, okay? So thanks for the comment and for being honest with us. Now I want to give you a wonderful lesson, my brother Bread. So now what is the lesson? You go to chapter 5. Chapter 5 is called chapter Ma'idah, Surah Ma'idah. And I'm going to read one chapter for you. And it happened here in our continent. Chapter number 5, verse 83. Write it down or make a mental note of it. My brother Bread, this is spiritual bread and food for you, right? Chapter 5, verse 83. The beginning of the seventh part of the Noble Quran. Now let me give you the background, the Sababun Nuzul, the reason for its revelation. You see the first migration from Makkah Mukarramah, where the Prophet, peace be upon him, was Prophet Muhammad. So they were being tortured, persecuted, the Muslims, by the idol worshippers. So they migrated, a group of them, here to Africa, to Habasha, Ethiopia. And there the leader was Najashi Negus. He was a man of justice. So anyway, the Muslims were there. He told them, okay, that one of you, tell us what is your message. So Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's brother read Surah Maryam. He read the chapter regarding Mary, chapter 19. So when he was reading, my brother, so who's reading? Ja'far radiallahu anhu. Who's listening? Niggers, Najashi and his entourage and ministers who at that time are still not Muslim. But remember, they knew Arabic. So I explain to you now. Chapter 5, verse 83. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا and when they were hearing what they heard, مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ what was revealed to the messenger, Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What an impact it had, the non-Muslims, soothing to your heart, my brother bread. What an impact it had on them. تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمِ the tears were rolling down. Mimma arafu min al-haq, because now they recognize the truth. They did not wait, my brother bread, that there and then, immediately what they said. He is the man who gave asylum to the students and companions of the Master Prophet Muhammad Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They announced and declared their faith. Yaqulun, and they said, Allah mentions it in the present tense as though we're visualizing it. Rabbana amanna faktubna ma shahideen. Oh, our beloved Allah, we bring faith. You record our name in those who have given testimony, and we believe in you, O Almighty Allah. We believe in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Although we have not seen him or met him, but we believe in him and all the articles of faith. He, the same Najashi Negus radiallahu anhu, peace be upon that Allah be pleased with him. So he passes away during the lifetime of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, is in Medina Munawwara, and he is here in Ethiopia. The Prophet, peace be upon him, tells his companions, come, let us read his funeral prayer. And from Medina they read the funeral prayer, and his body, Mubarak, honorable body, was here in Ethiopia. So therefore, when we study the jurisprudence of Islam, the Shafi'i scholars, Hanbali scholars say it is permissible. So that is Islam, my brother. The Quran will always have an impact on humanity, provided when I open the tap, you put the glass, the cup, the jug, the right direction. You put it the opposite direction, like most jutlas are doing and enemies of Islam are doing, then that is your problem. But if you are a fair and just person, this is what the Quran will do. So you keep on listening, my brother bread. We pray for you, and I promise you, I take an oath on Allah. I prayed for you this morning. I don't take names, but I say, Ya Allah, these people who are good people, that they got a misunderstanding of Islam, you guide them and bring them to the truth. Allah guide you, my brother bread.
Ameen,
and
Ameen.
You keep on listening to us, inshallah.
He says, God bless you, Ustad bread.
Thank you, my brother.
Ustad, I've got here, it's Sebastian. He says, AK, do you know that the Saudi prince and kings have cars made from real gold and have them dumped in the ocean when they have too much of them? Could they not reuse that gold and distribute it amongst the poor? Sebastian Ustad.
You must remember, they are a disgrace to Islam, especially the current leadership. Therefore, I told you, Sebastian, they're not Muslim, these people. You must remember that. They are just there, and remember, and America loves, they must be there, so they can steal their oil, get their oil at a special price, and so forth. Don't you remember what happened with Kissinger and all of them when they came? They said that you must give us oil, and you must charge everybody in dollars, and we will give you security and so forth. Once that oil finishes, you see the oil price is already receding, decreasing now. You know when they attacked Saddam Hussein and Iraq, because Iraq had so many reservoirs and oil reserves. You know what happened to the oil price? It went to $30 a barrel. You should know all this, Sebastian. So the Americans, Europeans, the whiteys, they only like Saudi Arabia. Not they like Islam or they like Arabs. They hate their guts. They only love their oil. Once that oil is depleted, finished, they will drop them like a condom. Mm. But these fools and idiots don't understand. They want their glory in their gold and so forth. How many things they could have done for Islam, you must remember. But they are the people who will lock up the true scholars. Sheikh Salih Al Talib, Imam of the Haram, 10 years in prison. Sheikh Nasir Umar, 30 years in prison. Sheikh Salman Oda, how many times he has been in prison. So that is where we are today. Therefore, we name them and we shame them.
I see Jeremy says it's very, very strange. You don't hate the Chinese, but they're also killing the Muslims. But you hate we, the Jews, Ustad.
We hate your policies. We hate the Chinese policies. I've been to occupied Palestine 5 times. I've been to China once. I've been to Russia once. America twice. So remember, if you ask me about China, I will say 100% we condemn them, especially what they are doing in Xinjiang and what they are doing to my Muslim brothers, sisters and children, putting them in detention camps, concentration camps. 100% we have to condemn them. We don't carry favor with any person, any politician, any organization or government. We are here to promote true Islam and defend true Islam. We are not the bootlickers. We will tell you what is the truth, whether you like it or you can lump it.
Somebody says here, Mufti Sahab, my son smokes Zol, but we allow him to because when he don't take it, he is very violent. He had 3 bypasses already, Mufti Sahab, and was told to stop, but he didn't. Now he's on his final heart attack. The doctor giving us last chance, 10% of survival rate. Should we make dua for him that he doesn't listen, Ustad?
Remember that you got the wrong end of the zol. You got the wrong end of the stick. So you must remember that Quran Sharif said, Surah 5, verse number 2, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ For those of you foreigners, you don't know what is Zol, so you must remember that. We have a lot of people here, some we call them Zol, Zol, and a lot of things go on in South Africa. So anyway, you must remember the point I was making here is this, that this is, you know, that Zol is the drugs, and Dacha, and weed, and all that. So anyway, the point here is this, Quran says, Surah 5, verse 2, so وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى that you must cooperate with one another in piety and righteousness. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ you can't go and cooperate and assist in vices and sin. You are parents. So you gave your son so much freedom, you gave him so much money, so he got addicted to the dacha, to the mandrax, to the tuk and duck and whatever, I don't know all these things. So we just use the word zol, for example. So now you are justifying it, remember that, that's what you're doing. So you are an accomplice in this crime. Now you say he's in his last stages. So pray to Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, if life is better, give him life. If death is better, give him death. Ya Allah, let him die with Iman. Not only he's guilty, you as parents are also 100% guilty. Remember, you'll allowed it, and now you'll use the flimsy excuse that no, he becomes violent and so forth. Today he's violent with you, tomorrow he's violent with your neighbors and other people. Then when somebody puts a bullet through him or somebody does something, then who's to blame? So think properly. You all are to 100% blame in this case here.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says here, Ustad, that do you think that the white men should take over our country? I mean, there was no load shedding when the white people were taking over, Ustad.
Yes, the white people, there was no load shedding, but they treated us as third-class citizens. So remember, apartheid's legacy is crime against humanity. Don't think the white man was very good. One thing they would do, they would steal with one finger, two finger, three fingers. And from 94 onwards, they're stealing with 5, 6, 7 fingers. And that Tutu said that.
Mm.
What Tutu said, under apartheid, we had the gravy train. Now with democracy, we got the gravy plane. They steal more and so forth. So we don't have to worry about white, red, black, green, pink. We need the best people in the best jobs. So there's a whole policy of affirmative action is a disaster. Qaeda deployment and so forth and so on. It's just like the Arab League. Arab League good for nothing. So now when you go read the history, when is the next meeting of the Arab League? It will be in November. Where will it be held? In Algeria. Algeria don't want to invite Morocco because of the internal politics. Now reluctantly they invite them. They can't say one thing against the apartheid Israeli terrorists. So what good are you, Arab League? Good for nothing, remember. So our country is like that. So corruption, Qaeda deployment, and criminals are running the country. That is the truth, whether you like or don't like. Therefore, I told you 100 times, I never ever voted for them, and I'm very happy about that. Inshallah, 8:30 to 9, inshallah, Brother Abu Bakr Rawat will be on with Mawazaid Khan, inshallah, Laziz. 11 to 12, Mawazaid Khan and myself, and we're discussing divorce and talaq, inshallah, part 2, and then tafsir, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, inshallah. Barakallahu feek, salamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.